Mr. Anderson. Can you hear me?
I can.
All right, man. Well, thank you. I apologize. We haven't been able to do this, and we've scheduled you two or three times and canceled. But I'm glad to finally get this done, and I really appreciate you coming on the show. And so the horse sale is kind of they've put you in charge of that, correct?
Correct.
So tell us about it. This thing's grown, seems like, every year, and there's so many things that happen in a short amount of time at the Western Heritage Classic that, and a lot of people don't even know that there is a horse sale. That's what we want to let people know about. And I think it's a brilliant idea. With Phil Guitar kind of heading this up and making this kind of an exclusive deal where you guys, you know, showcase your talents, not only the Cowboys, but these horses, and that what y'all do, you can't do without these horses. And that's kind of it's not really a dying art, but it is kind of a dying art. Most people don't, you know, forget that. Or don't know that y'all rely on these horses, and with the strength of the horse market nowadays, which I think is, you know, recovered, since 2008, I think we kind of had some down years there, and it seems to get bigger and better every year. How many horses do you think you're going to have in this sale, and do you share that sentiment? Do you think it's growing as well?
I do think the sale is done better and better as time goes on, and personally I think it's one of the top three quarter horse using horse sales in the state of Texas, and this being probably the second best in my opinion, and maybe that return to the Ramuda sale, and that's normally at the sixes, and then the Ramuda sale in Fort Worth being the third highest sale, and so we're in good company, and because all three sales are important, and I don't really want to say prestigious, but they kind of are. I mean, they're not everybody can get in them, and you've got to have some qualifications to get in them, and so they're good sales, and we've got a good sale, and we're getting better all time, and we've got about, and going back to the numbers, we're going to have about, I think we've got 75 consigned, and historically there'll be some that don't make it because they got crippled or something happened, you know. And, I mean, we've got to put these horses in the sale by February the 1st, and that's a lot of time for something to go wrong.
Yes, sir. Especially the way y'all work, y'all use these horses. These aren't stuck in a stall and brushed
They're
on,
not cream
and, yeah, and loped around for an hour or two, and then put up. These horses are used. And folks, if you're just now tuning in, you're listening to the Horse Connection with Clay and Travis, and we have Mr. John Anderson with us, who is, I guess, in charge of the Western Heritage Classic horse sale. And you work for the Mule Shoe Ranches, correct, sir?
Yeah, my family owns the Mule Shoe Ranch, and so I lease it from my family, and I lease another ranch for my family, and so yeah, we use horses a lot.
Yeah, there's, you know, and to do that kind of work, and people don't, the layman doesn't know, but this is a big, they call it the Western Heritage Classic for a reason, and it's to celebrate our cowboy heritage and our ranching heritage out here, not only in Texas but all over the country, and so we've got 75 horses consigned. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you need to be invited to this sale. This is an invitation only, and if I think I'm right, I think you have to be a participant in the Western Heritage Classic as far as having a ranch team and participating in the rodeo to have a horse in the sale. Is that correct?
No, that's not exactly right. You do have to be invited.
Okay.
And quite a few ranches that are in the ranch rodeo are in the horse sale, but there's some that aren't.
Okay.
And for different reasons. I mean, they hadn't been blackballed or anything like that. They'd be more than welcome to put one in. And matter of fact, we ask all the ranches that are in the ranch rodeo if they want to be in the horse sale, and some do periodically, and some do every year.
Right. And y'all do that just to showcase that these are actual working ranch horses, and you've got some requirements. So, like, you know, Joe Blow that has, you know, a little ranchette out here south of town, you know, can't really enter this because it doesn't really meet your requirements, correct?
That is correct, and not to say anything bad about other horses and other operations, but we've decided because of for the integrity of the sale, yeah, that this is what the path we want to follow.
Yeah. Right. No, and I think that's good. I think that makes sense. I think it helps your sale, and I think it kind of controls what goes out of it. You know, you've seen a serious increase in the value of these ranch horses, in my opinion, over the years, and for good reason. It's hard to go find a horse, you know, even for me nowadays. You know, I if I had a horse, I would probably rope a little bit and not hardly use him because I'm lazy and I don't really want to work anymore. But I would pay more for a horse that came off a ranch that was being used and got tired slow. And for a lot of people don't know what that means, but they've gotten not just hurried up and tired in 15 minutes every day of their life, but gotten tired slowly through years. And when you do that, these horses are just better mentally. They're more confident. They know not to waste energy. You know, you get one of these geldings up and he hadn't been ridden in a week, he might have a little hump in his back, but he's not going to expend a bunch of energy and waste it because he knows he's got a hard day ahead of him, and they expect that. So it's hard to do that in any other capacity other than raising them on a ranch and using them on a ranch. Don't you agree, John?
Oh, I agree, and people get to see a wide variety of horses, I guess you'd say, not breed-wise and all that, but age-wise. There's yearlings that go through the sale, there's babies that go through the sale, there's two-year-olds that go through the sale, and then there's finished horses that go through the sale. Everybody that consigns a horse has to put at least one finished horse through the sale.
Okay.
So people get to see what the end result is of some of these younger horses that they're buying. And I think that's important. And the two-year-olds that go through the sale, they've had not everything done on them that an old horse has had, mainly because they can't take the pounding. But I'll just use my two-year-old horses as an example. We've ridden big pastures. They pulled wet saddle blankets off of them time after time after time, and gone miles and days and half days and roped cattle on them and doctored cattle on them. So all these horses, like you'd said a while ago, have been used, and they're just at different stages of their life, and that's not bad, because we have people that want horses at different stages of their life. And
sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Anderson, are you seeing, you know, there's a lot of course, these family ranches have been in the same family for, you know, 2 to 5 generations now, and you're seeing that younger generation coming back and coming on the ranch, and a lot of them, it seems like, are a little more focus oriented on the horse program and building that up, you know, because a lot of the ranches, you know, I'm not saying all of them, but several of them have really in the last 5-10 years started focusing on a horse program and seeing the need for, like you are saying, you know, the Western Heritage highlights ranch horses and a ranch horse that's used every day, you know, whether that's dragging in the Brandon pen in the spring, you know, for a month at a time, or just having a horse that can cover some country and not get wore out, like Clay was saying. Are you seeing a little bit more of a quality of training program coming out in these horses, or is it kind of staying pretty consistent throughout the generations and the shows that you've seen in the past?
You know, quite a few years ago, the ranching, it's RHAA, what are the ranching, Ranch Horse Association of America, started, and you have to go out and do kind of a dry rein and run and do some stops and rollbacks, and then hold a cow on one end of the arena and then turn her back going down the fence and then rope it. And since that started, I think all of our horse quality has gotten better.
Yes, sir.
I was in on the very first part of that, and people were bringing, you know, just the ranch horses, I promise you, the quality has gotten way better on the
yes,
horses
sir.
That are shown in that, and it's carried over into this horse sale. And so the quality of horses has improved. And, you know, the bloodlines were always kind of there, but the time and effort spent on them has increased.
You bet.
And the breeding has gotten better. I mean, you know, 30, 40 years ago, the top bloodlines were the top bloodlines, and bloodlines have gotten a little better, and as time goes on, as it should, and they may go back to those, and they all go back, don't get me wrong, they all go back to those bloodlines, but everybody's just looking for a better horse, and they're trying to breed for a better horse and make a better horse when they're working, and so the quality has just gone up and up and up, and particularly in this horse sale, one of the things I've seen happen is the number of finished using horses, and I don't mean finished like they're done with their life, but finished as far as being a good ranch horse and being able to do anything you want to do, that quality has and quantity have increased dramatically.
I would agree with that 1,000%, John, and a lot of it attributes to breeding, but a lot of it contributes to these young cowboys that y'all have that are riding these horses, or older cowboys, whatever, but they're all good hands. You know, 15 years ago, it wasn't like that. You know, you might have one really good, you know, pretty handy guy with a colt working on your ranch, and the rest of the guys didn't really know what they were doing. Well, all that's changed, in my opinion. You know, you see these young kids showing up at the Western Heritage Classic, and I mean, every one of them know what they're doing. You know, and they're good with these horses, and I think that's just a testament to more people training horses and more older guys being open to teaching younger guys and learning that. You know, you look at Miles Brown and what he's accomplished and how handy he is or seems to be to me. And, you know, T.J. Roberts, you know, you see kids like that. He was handy from the time he was born, I think. But I think that plays into it too. You know, when I first went to the Western Heritage, you know, the ranch rodeo, all those cowboys were seriously talented cowboys, but you get them in that building, and I mean, you know, and things change. You know, they'd miss one, whereas out in the pasture, they wouldn't miss one, you know,
right,
for nothing. And now these younger kids grew up going to these ranch rodeos and having a crowd looking at them and doing it in a building, and just the whole ranch horse or the rodeo quality's improved, the performance is improved, the horses are better, and the cowboys are better. What do you think?
Oh, I agree with that. And these young kids, you mentioned Miles Brown, they're coming up, and I've watched him through the years, and he's pretty special on a horse, and Lanham Brown, and I don't mean just stick with the Browns, because there's a lot of young talent out there, and schools like Tech and A&M and West Texas A&M, they're having these ranch horse programs, and so that's improved the talent pool and the horse pool, and
yes, sir.
In the high school rodeos, they started having a reining cow horse, and that's going to bring a new wave of talent on, and so it's changing, and for the better, I do believe.
Yeah. And the market for these horses has expanded, you know, and I think with a combination of everything we were just talking about, you know, say a guy has 20 acres and has a little girl and they live here south of Abilene, and they're not big ranchers, you know, the grandfather may have a ranch somewhere and they want to get that girl into riding horses. What better horse to get her than a good seasoned ranch horse that's older, that's been through everything, done everything, seen everything, drug calves to the fire, doctored cattle outside, got tired slow, and is going to take care of that little girl and teach her more than any human could ever teach her. I think that's what's expanded these buyers as well. You know, used to, if you were going to buy a ranch horse, you bought him to put him on your ranch and put him to work. You know, now it's not so much like that. People have figured out that these horses are better trained and have been used more and are more helpful to someone learning, you know, to ride or learn about horses or have a good horse to take to play days or whatever. And it just gives another outlet to sell these horses at. And I just think it's brilliant. And I think the invitation only and kind of the parameters y'all have, like you said, it's not like we're keeping people out, but we've got a set deal that we want to sell through this sale. And I just think it's brilliant. And I'm glad to see it this healthy. I've seen it not healthy in my past, and I'm glad to see it turn around the way it has. You know, horses. If you're not ranching a bunch of country, horses are kind of an expendable, not an expendable deal, but you've got some throwaway money if you're buying some horses and you're not a rancher nowadays, and you see more and more people doing that, which I think is just fantastic.
Well, I agree, and the horse business is picking up a little bit, and, you know, I think overall our total horse numbers are down some, which has helped the market some, and people do want to ride a nice horse, and like you said earlier about getting a younger person on an older finished horse, that makes good sense, and a lot of people are doing that, and as you said, the horse can teach somebody something, and I know, just take my kids for instance, you can tell them and tell them and tell them, but until they get on a horse that can do something, they don't know what it feels like to do something right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
It makes a lot of difference. And speaking of the buyers, you know, Joanne Robertson is our secretary, and is the best, and she's receive calls from Texas, but from back east, Louisiana, Arkansas, Georgia, and then she's even gotten a call from a guy in Hawaii that's wanting to come out here and buy a couple of horses. And
that's awesome.
You know, that guy is he's got a lot of expense. I don't know what it costs to get a horse back to Hawaii, but I would guess many thousand.
Yeah.
And they're not cheap.
No, it's probably not cheap, and he could probably buy three or four in Hawaii for the price it's going to cost him to get one out here. But I get it.
Anything, that's just a testament to the type and the quality of horses that are coming out of this sale at the Western Heritage there in Abilene. I mean, that right there speaks volumes.
I agree, and I before I do go, I sure want to thank Western Heritage even having this sale, because as y'all said earlier, there's so much going on.
Yep.
And that's due to the years of their diligence and trying to make this a big event, and it is a big event.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know what the traffic flow is through there, but it's many thousands. And that, of course, that helps the town of Abilene, and I guess that's part of the reason why they're building on everything out there. And I mean, I know this is not the only one by a long shot, but it's one of the ones, and so it helps all around. And I appreciate
yes,
the board of the Western Heritage Classic of letting us have this horse show, and it's a pretty neat deal.
Well, it's a huge part of it, and it's part of our heritage out here in West Texas, and we need to celebrate that. And I just think, like you said, it helps everybody. It helps the rancher. It helps the facility. You know, get more people in, and it helps the horse market. And I just think it's something that we got to have. I'm like you. I'm glad they have that horse sale as well. That gives people an opportunity to find our heritage, and if they're interested in buying a horse, there's no better place to do that. And like you said, you got some yearlings and some 2-year olds that have been started really the right way, and that just makes it a little cheaper. If somebody wants to buy them a 2-year-old, it'll be cheaper than a seasoned, finished, older gelding. And if they're handy enough, they can go on and finish it themselves. So I think it's great, Mr. Anderson. So we got 75 consigned. What day is the horse sale on? It's on Saturday. What time does it start?
It's on Saturday and starts at 9:30.
9:30.
We used to start at 10, and we moved it up just a little bit, or back a little bit, just to make sure that we got through, because they have so much going on. They've got a ranch horse competition immediately following the sale, and And we just need to be sure to be out of there and make this work for everyone. So anyway, we're going to start at 9:30.
And are some of these horses going to be in the sale competing in the ranch horse competition?
You know, I don't know that. I haven't seen that. We have had in the past horses in this sale that were in the ranch rodeo, and we've got a deal through the horse sale that if a horse goes through this sale specifically and comes back to the ranch horse competition, the finals, and wins money, the highest placing horse, we have a side pot for them, and there have been years that no horse has won that, and there have been years that, like one year, I had a horse that came back that I'd sold, and half the pot goes to the owner, and half the pot goes to the owner that had the horse during the sale, and so that particular year, my horse placed, and the rider got $2,500, and I got $2,500, so there is an incentive to buy these horses and then come back to the RHAA competition and compete and win a little side pot.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. Well, that's great. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Anderson?
Oh, I really can't think of anything. I'm sure I'll think of something when I get off the phone, but I appreciate y'all calling.
Well, we appreciate you, Mr. Anderson, and the Mule Shoe Ranch and all the work y'all do to have this sale. And like you said, there's three sales. There's the Fort Worth, there's the Bermuda sale, and there's this one. And they are. They're the elite of these ranch horse sales. And nowhere else can you go other than these three sales to buy horses that these cowboys use every day and buy some of their stock that they've taken time to breed and make better over the years that y'all had them. And we really appreciate you, Mr. Anderson. So the horse sale's 9:30 on Saturday morning, folks. Bring your checkbook.
And I'll say two other things. You were talking about the fourth and fifth generations being on the ranches. Well, on this particular ranch, I'm the fourth generation. My son's the fifth generation. His daughters are the sixth generation, and we're all on this ranch.
Yes, sir.
And I've got a daughter that's the fifth generation on the ranch, and so that's a pretty good deal, and
that's a big deal, yes, sir.
And something else that I don't know, all these ranch horse competitions are getting bigger, and the team roping deal has exploded. Good gosh, it's exploded.
Yeah.
And so that's making these horses more valuable too, and we're getting some team ropers that are coming to these sales to buy horses specifically for that reason, and that's a good deal. So it's getting better, and we appreciate y'all's interest, and thanks for hollering.
Well, there's no better way to get a horse. I think these are the best horses on planet to buy and, like you said, take and do any other discipline. You can take these horses and back them up in that box and teach them how to team rope, and they'll just be better. They can pull their past experience, and you'll train that horse faster than you will taking a horse that's never done anything and trying to make him a team roping horse, in my opinion. I think it goes for, you know, even play days, or if you want to continue to do the ranch horse competition, or if you want to rope, or if you've got a girl that wants to barrel race. I'd rather start off with a horse, you know, 5 or 6, 7 years old that knows how to drag calves, knows how to work every day for a week, and is prepared to go to work when you put a saddle on him. And the only way to do that is to work them over time. It's the only way they figure that out. They're not born that way. So we really appreciate you coming on the show, John, and best of luck to y'all at the horse sale. And maybe we'll track you down and get a picture with you, me and Travis.
That'd be great. I'll tell you one more thing if you've got time.
You bet. We got all the time in the world, man.
Well, here a few years ago, my wife and I had gone to Oklahoma City to watch one of my horses in the calf rope at the World Show. And they had a deal that I'm not real familiar with, but apparently they have it quite often. And they brought kids in from around the world to ride horses in a competition. And the competition was a number of things like Western Pleasure and reining and hunter jumper and a bunch of different disciplines. And people were good enough to bring horses to supply for these kids to ride. It was, and so anyway, we were looking around, and I saw a horse had my brand on it, and a lady from around College Station owned it, and she'd brought it to supply some kids, and I said, what all you do with this horse? And she told me, and one of them was Hunter under saddle. And I just said, wow.
Yeah, like, do what? I know y'all didn't do anything like that with that horse.
Right. So, you know, these horses can do a lot of things, and I've seen them in a lot of different places doing whatever. Of course, I see more team roping horses because that deal has loaded so much. It's pretty neat to see a horse do good in the calf roping and the hunter under saddle. I mean, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I just want to...
No, that's fantastic. I mean, you know... My addiction
shows the versatility of the horses that are coming off these ranch.
Yeah, they can go. You can go do anything. You know, Buster, back when Buster Welch was training all them horses, you know, he would work on them. I mean, I've got pictures of him dragging calves on Little Peppy. You know, he knew that. He knew you teach these horses how to work, whether it's no matter what it is, dragging calves or just gathering cattle. It'll make them better in a discipline that you go try to get specific with them on. And
I agree with that totally, and the more you do on them, the better, I think. And of course, they're going to be better at some things than they are at others, and that's what you're looking for. You do multiple things, and then, oh, this is what he likes best. That's what we're going to do. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, right. Good deal. 9:30 Saturday morning, Western Harry is this weekend, folks. Y'all need to come out and see some of these great horses all on these historic ranches sell. And I think it's going to be fantastic. Mr. Anderson, thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right.
Y'all calling, and we'll see y'all down there.
We'll see you Saturday,
yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. There you have it, folks. Mr. John Anderson, owner, operator of the Mule Shoe Ranch. That's pretty cool, dude. You know.
Yes, sir. It's a big deal. Like you're saying, you know, a lot of these ranches now, the fourth, the fifth, and, you know, the fifth generation, they're, you know, the sixth generation is their kids now. It's a big deal.
Uh-oh.
Did we lose the connection there?
I don't know. Should we keep this as part of the show? I think we should.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. Brandon had to step out for a second. Maybe it'll stop in a minute.
I guess we can wrap it up right here if you want to.
All right. Well, let's just hang up, I guess, and there we go.
That'll work.
Well, maybe we
there
can,
it is.
Maybe we can edit that out. But that's a neat story, Mr. John Anderson, owner-operator of the Mule Shoe Ranch, fourth generation, and has the fifth and sixth generation coming up. I mean, these people take pride in their horses.
Deal.
Absolutely.
A lot of these horses and stuff that are coming off these ranches, like they're saying, you know, everybody's put a lot of time and effort into them, and, you know, like you and Mr. Anderson were saying, you know, as many competitions as there are and opportunities now for the fifth and sixth generation, even the fourth generation on the ranch to go to, you know, ranch rodeos and RHA shows and get, you know, a lot of tuning on their horse and be inside a facility and work with all the people that are there that, you know, have done this stuff and kind of build off each other's experience to turn these horses into what they are at this sale. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, people forget that these ranches rely on these horses to get their work done. And, you know, some of these ranches out here in West Texas are rough enough. You can't do it in a four-wheeler or just a pickup in a feed sack.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to work right, and it's not good for your cattle. And your cattle don't get trained, so to speak. You know, I just remember Buster, we'd go out there and we'd gather everything in the middle of the pasture. And everybody be a horseback, and you'd form a circle around them and hold them there, and you'd be kind of rolling your eyes at Buster, like, man, we gonna do this or what? You know, it seemed like you'd be there half a day, but he'd do that to train them cattle. You know, that way when they saw a horse, they didn't run to a corner, freak out. They were trained. When they started seeing horses, they would start drifting, and he would back off and no pressure . And he was training those cows, and you do it a little bit every time you're with them, a little bit every time you're with them, just like these horses. You know, it's I don't know. It's just magical, and I miss doing that. And I think anybody that's ever day worked, you know, even just every once in a while, appreciates these horses like no other. And it's some of these horses that are tied to these great ranches, you know, it's kind of a celebrity factor. You know,
yes.
I bought this horse off the Mule Shoe or the Sixes or, you know, Tongue River. You know, or you know,
Morehouse and all, you know, Ari Brown. You know, it's a big deal. And trust me, take from my experience. You know, we run a lot of game cattle, and those cattle don't respect a four wheeler. I mean,
no,
pretty comical whenever we get ready to gather everything up. My dad's out there on the four wheeler and causing more of an issue than he is a help with those calves because they don't like that four wheeler.
No.
When you got a bunch of heifers out, they dang sure don't like it.
Yeah, no, that. If you go working cattle a horseback and you realize why God made a horse, and that's exactly right. And that's the truth. You know, they just go hand in hand. So, all right, Trav, well, let's take a quick break here. And
all right.
We'll get our next guest on. You're listening to Horse Connection with Clay and Travis.